You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Hey, don't forget, 7 o'clock on Saturday night, the NWSL Championship.
Ooh.
Women's Soccer League. And it's going to be held here in Kansas City at CPKC Stadium. They're going to be featured, I think, tomorrow. The CBS Morning News is going to be broadcasting from Kansas City.
Like you said, Kansas City is the center of the universe.
Lately, it has been.
Mm-hmm. Past few years, it sure has been.
A story here from Channel 41. The KC Current completed a strong 2024 season, finishing just one win shy of the championship match. Advancing to the title game would have been extra sweet for Kansas City because it will be played here. The Orlando Pride will play the Washington Spirit on Saturday night. And according to the story from 41, the grounds crew will be all female.
Good.
That's what we want, says Mira Emma, sports field manager at CPKC. That's what we live for. Our team does an absolutely incredible job maintaining and preparing this service to make sure it's in tip-top shape. That's always a question that we get. How are the field conditions going to be? Is it going to be slippery? Blah, blah, blah. Emma also is assembling an all-female grounds crew team to work on the pitch and make it ready for what is expected to be a sold-out stadium for Saturday's championship.
I think the weather's supposed to be good.
I'll look that up.
It's like super cold today. And
tonight it's going to get real cold,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, the weekend's supposed to be decent. I love this next topic. This is from Work Life Magazine. You know you subscribe. I think the Business Journal has also picked this up.
High of 58, by the way, on Saturday.
Perfect.
When was the last time you all went to a traditional Christmas party hosted by your employer? Like the holiday office?
Well,
last year.
No. Dan, don't we have like a gathering where there's, I mean...
Yeah, it was a holiday party. We had a holiday party, and it had been years since I had been to one.
Okay, so that's the headline is basically the holiday office party is roaring back. I don't know if it's roaring back.
Well,
hide your lampshades.
By the way, there's a reason that we do our holiday parties in the afternoon around here.
Yeah.
I've been here long enough to know there was a time. There was a time when we would have them on a Saturday night, and they were dress-up events. People would come in a suit and mm-hmm. ladies in a dress, and they got so out of hand. I mean, I can't even tell some of the stories on the air how bad it got. I do remember the last one I went to had to be somewhere between, because of who I was dating at the time, somewhere between 2009 and 2012, because those are the years I dated this one woman. And it was at a restaurant bar downtown. It was very nice. I have a picture of me in my suit. And the one thing I remember from that night, and this was the last one I went to, I think, was one of the sales gals was ripped drunk. I mean, we had a DJ and everything. And she had the DJ play, If You Like It, You Should Have Put a Ring on It.
Mm-hmm.
She's dancing on top of the table.
Right.
Plates and glasses everywhere.
Screaming at the top of her lungs.
Screaming, dancing on this table, pointing her left hand at her boyfriend.
Poor guy.
Who's sitting in a chair right there at the table, and she's dancing to, is it Beyonce who sings that?
Yes.
Don't you think, though, the pandemic was like the last nail in the coffin to the traditional blowout? Like,
if there's a God in heaven, it was.
I think
it ended long before that.
I had one real sit-down holiday open bar party when I first got to Channel 5. It would have been 2000 or 2001. Okay? And I mean, it was at the Ritz. Then the Ritz on the Plaza.
We had one at Channel 9.
And the photographer, like all of that. But then right after that, I think someone looked at the ledger and went, we're not going to do it. It's the cost of
a really nice wedding. Workers.
Mm-hmm. You know, it was a plated dinner. In 2000, 2001, and then that was it.
We had two women fight at one of our Christmas parties years ago.
Oh, my God.
Do you see the difference? Dana and I come from the world of television where, you know, we're a little more refined and fancy.
Yeah,
And you guys are down the hall with the music people, you know, lampshades on
the other thing is so many people work remote. Is that a reason that, like, it sort of...
I think you both are onto something.
How you been for the last 3 years? I haven't seen you.
The companies are always trying to save a buck.
Uh-huh.
And let's be honest, and I would love to take calls on this at 586-7798. I get why businesses do the company party, the holiday party, whatever.
Morale building.
Because they think it builds morale. And they think that it's their way. And I'm not taking anything away from any company or CEO or boss who throws a holiday party. What I'm simply trying to say is most employees, especially if it's on a weekend, don't really want to be there, in my opinion.
Listen to this attorney that they
I think
interviewed.
A lot of people do enjoy doing that because it's a thank you to the employees where we get to say,
give me $100.
You're welcome in between bites of free food.
Do you know who's actually the most thankful? Lawyers. Listen
sure.
to this quote.
I'm sure.
Listen to this quote. More often than not, alcohol is what makes revelers go off the rails at employer-sponsored event. And free-flowing booze has historically gone hand in glove with the year-end festivities. Quoting here from Mark Kluger, partner at Kluger Healy, I used to call it March Madness when all the post-holiday party lawsuits began. That's how long it could take for some of these cases, 95% of which also involve sexual harassment, mm-hmm. to make their way to court.
Yep.
Yeah, so we used to have an annual Christmas party, holiday party, call it what you will, over in TV. And then that ended. And then they would walk around and hand out things like branded flashlights or
branded
manicure kits.
We go to other types of holiday parties throughout the year. And maybe, you know, you have a couple martinis and it's like, oh, I need to Uber out of here. What is it about the office holiday party where the nightmare scenarios are unleashed? Why is it the office holiday party where you would think most of us would be on our best behavior?
Most people are. And, you know, obviously I've had a history of heavy drinking in my story. Those were the times where I would be very, very careful because I knew myself. I knew that I could go over the edge if I would allow myself.
Interesting.
But it was no secret around here. But there's always that one. Always that one person who did not get the memo to stay off the table and don't request Beyonce.
It's her first time or his first time in the big city, big party.
Of all the different holiday parties, why would you choose the office party? Like, and you know, there have been sitcoms that have joked, you know, Elaine's Dancing.
Oh, yeah.
There have been sitcoms that have made fun of this, but I feel like the people that maybe would be on better behavior if it was just, you know, friends or a casual gathering out to celebrate, you know, Friendsgiving. You know, no one gets blitzed and falls down a set of stairs during Friendsgiving. But so why would we wait until the office holiday party with colleagues?
Probably
to do that?
Because you're forced into a forced social outing with people that you work with that you may not know very well. I mean, every business has its little cliques, right?
Yeah.
And if all of a sudden I'm seated at a table with a bunch of people from Department X and I work in Department Y.
And their spouses.
Yeah. And we have to make small talk.
Like you're forcing people to loosen up
and then when they
engage with each other.
And then when they loosen up, i.e. get drunk, then people start getting sued.
And people do act differently because they also have their spouses there.
Yeah.
And the way that you interact with this other person at work Monday through Friday changes because now they're being watched by their spouse and awkward.
You know, this doesn't happen very often, I'm sure, but I know it happens. You're at the office party and so is your mistress with her husband.
Some inter-office shenanigans.
That would make me feel a little nervous, cautious, awkward. Roger, Bob, Chuck, you guys all hang tight. We'll get with everybody in just a moment. If you want to weigh in.
All the men wanting to weigh in. Where are you at, Angie, Deb, and Lurleen?
Julie, get in here now. The office party is apparently making a comeback. The office Christmas party is making a comeback. Is that true? 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. Last really nice Christmas party we ever had here. I don't even remember her name. She worked in the sales department. I remember that. 913-586-7798. Word on the street is that the company Christmas party is making a comeback. Is that true in your office? Oh, if you have a story, please share.
No names.
Yeah, no names. Not even the company's name, because we can't prove it true or false. Roger in Lewisburg. Roger, hello.
Hello, first-time caller. Love your guys' show. Keep things staying on the road. Hey, so my company got to be given a Christmas party. However, our attorneys do, and they put on some great parties for us, but it got so great that they had to take away the free booze and just do one coupon, and then people stopped going. But that's my story, and...
You only get one coupon? We at least used to get two or three.
Two, right?
Well, I think it maybe two, but I think it's down to one. It really got strict, and, you know, some of the wives that don't drink, they'll give you the coupon, but we really looked forward to it. The guys at work, you know, they all showed up, dressed up, because you never see them in their street clothes, you know. I'm not going to tell you the company, but we're railroaders, and so they didn't have anybody to run these trains because everybody's laying off to go to the Christmas party. So, anyways, I hope they come back to the good parties.
All right, Roger. Hey, do appreciate the call, man. From the text line, well, Scott, did her boyfriend propose? Not that night.
Not that night. And
if I'm not mistaken, they broke up. I don't remember. It was more than a decade ago. Bob in Kansas City. Bob, hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going well. Thank you.
Two things. First off, Christmas party, last one I probably attended to was night in the 90s. Got out of hand. They were serving the liquid stupid and the liquid courage, you know, and it ended up, glass ornaments were flying in the air, and it was a bad thing, you know. Things got out of hand, and yes, the last one was after that was another fight evolved from a Christmas party. And the second thing I wanted to say is, Scott, you broke the man rule. You got to keep the low on the M word, you know. The mistress thing, we got to keep that down.
Oh, I don't have one.
Bob, now that you brought up fight, I do remember during one of the very last Christmas parties we had, and not here, a spouse started screaming at a manager, her spouse's manager. Like, follow me here, Scott. Like, she is the spouse that is attending the Christmas party with the
yelling
worker.
Yelling at his boss.
She goes up and is clearly intoxicated. Not yelling. She starts screaming at the boss. Someone had to, like
restrain her?
Restrain her, and then they helped escort her out. And it was like, oh, hell.
Yeah, I mean,
can you get in trouble? Like, because your husband or your wife goes rogue at one of these things?
You can get fired.
For the behavior of your spouse?
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, Bob. You take care, buddy.
Thank you.
All right. Be well.
I had forgotten about that until he just said fight. And I'm like, yeah, pretty sure.
Really?
It was a fight. Oh, I remember. Like,
what was she upset about?
I was probably standing 20 feet away from it. And I was like, oh,
what was she upset about?
I don't remember. I remember thinking, whoa, wait, where did that come from?
So if they're having nice food and you're handing out, you know, drink coupons or whatever, if the whole point is, and I'm not anti-holiday party per se, but I am pro morale.
Yeah.
If the goal is to improve morale on the staff, I think if you gave me the equivalent of what you would spend on me at the Christmas party, and everybody in the building for that matter,
yeah,
if everybody attended, I think that would do more to improve morale than feeling forced to go to a company party that I don't really want to attend. That would improve my morale. Cash in pocket. Chuck in Kansas City. Hello, Chuck.
Hey, yeah. I've been working for a company for the last 15 years, and every year they do a dinner theater thing where you get your tickets free. You take your spouse. They got about an hour worth of time in a special, in a separate room where you go upstairs an hour before everything starts, and you have a couple of drinks or whatever. Then you go downstairs, and you get your seats, and you go get dinner off the buffet. You eat dinner, and when you get done eating dinner, they have a play, and then you get dessert at the intermission, and you get the rest of the play. And it's really nice. I mean, it's a real nice get together. Nobody gets stupid. Nobody gets out of hand. But yeah, and the spouses get to meet the people that you work with.
And, Chuck, you know, that dinner theater or something like that is a good idea, because I've never heard seen the headline, you know, Rager, you know, evolves into chaos at dinner theater.
Also, you have something there, the entertainment,
yes,
that would limit the awkward conversation between people that don't know each
other. Yes. You show up, you say hi, you maybe meet at the buffet. Good to see you again. Nice to meet your spouse. Yeah. And then everyone goes and sits down. The lights go down. You enjoy the theater and then you go.
I did something similar like that at my last job, at the last Christmas party I went to. Up in Liberty, they have the Johnny's Tavern that's connected to the movie theater.
Yeah.
So we did dinner at the bar, right? And then we got our own movie theater to go watch a movie. So that was nice.
That's okay. Cool.
All right. From the text line, have something during work hours just for employees. Cater in the food, no alcohol, make it a festive environment, and let them go home early that day with a $25 general gift card. Okay.
All right.
Rick in Lee's Summit, we got a couple more minutes. Rick, good afternoon. Hi.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Good. Well, I probably have one of the craziest stories you're going to hear.
Hang on, Rick. Keep it clean and no names of anybody or businesses.
No, absolutely. No, I don't know. I won't do that.
Okay.
Now, this has been a few years back. It was in a different city. I'm not going to get into details of that. But needless to say, after this, you'll understand why they stopped doing Christmas parties. They had a Vegas-themed Christmas party. So we brought in an Elvis impersonator. It was a good time. It was an open bar, so me and my buddies, we got pretty heavy. It was free. I'm going to take it if it's free. But by the end of the night, I'm, seeing stars, if you will. And I'm a little embarrassed to say this, but I thought, at the end of the night, the Elvis impersonator, he's in his glitzy coat. I couldn't even see straight. He looked like Betty Boop to me, so I went up and gave him a little boop boopy doop on the backside, and he knocked me out cold. And I wake up behind a dumpster. Our business was across from this little diner. I wake up at the dump behind the dumpster of the diner to some guy poking me with a stick, and he said he was a manager of that diner. It turns out he wasn't. He had stolen my wallet and my jacket.
Oh. Did you ever get the wallet back?
No. Oh. So Merry Christmas to me. I had to explain that to my wife.
Joe in KCK. Hello.
How's it going today?
It's going well. Okay. Thank you.
One of them was down at the Hyatt, and it was open bar, open food, live band, and one of the officers for the company got so happy that if you've been to the Hyatt, there's the fountain that's got the statue.
Uh-oh.
He was on that little bitty ledge, dirty dancing, grinding on the statue lady.
There's no twerking against the statue at the base of the Hyatt.
Joe, do appreciate the story and the laugh. Thank you for it, man. Quick break, 913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Quentin filling in today for Sam. He's on vacation. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. So we're going to take one more quick call on the company Christmas party because he's been so patient. But this is not the first time I will say his name on the show today. If you were listening earlier this afternoon, we kept trying to go to Jason in North Kansas City. And every time we went to him, we heard ourselves 8 seconds ago on the delay.
It happens.
And every time I said, Jason, you got to turn that radio down. We gave him, I think, 3 or 4 shots before he finally gave up. Well, Jason's called back.
We need him to blink twice if he needs help.
Jason, are you okay?
I am fine.
Oh, thank God. We were so worried.
I was actually... You didn't give up. I gave up, actually, technically, because I had to take off, and I don't like being on the phone when I'm driving.
Oh, okay.
And I thought I had disconnected from your call.
Oh, safety first.
So, and then imagine me when I pull into, a convenience store to get my iced tea. I'm looking down, and I'm to check a text message, and I see I'm still connected to you guys. And it was actually 19 minutes and 34 seconds. I've been calling long enough. I know the rules. I thought I was disconnected. I had to bail on the call.
Right on.
And that would have been that, but talking about the Christmas parties, I just want to share, two contrasting parties. I worked for a company where it was like one person could, for a decade, and one person could ruin it for everybody. So all the parties were boring and, you know, maybe a little white elephant, something like that going on. And then ended up taking a job with, I know you'd say names, but let's say an entertainment company.
Okay.
In the area. And man, they did not play on their Christmas parties. I mean, it was full bar, full spread, and being the entertainment company they were, we also had like access to a couple of movies that weren't released yet. So we had fun. But what I really appreciated about it was not a one person can ruin it for everybody culture. It was basically, it was a Christmas party / culling of the herd. Like every time there was a Christmas party, there was still like, there was going to be like half a dozen desks that just were going to be empty for a while. And it didn't matter. Like, I mean, everybody's going to, you know, it was like the corporate equivalent of the purge. So, but, you know, they couldn't do it. I mean, I saw guys that were like, I mean, they had this awesome Christmas party and they're out in front of the, where our establishment was, where we're celebrating, and they're rolling around in t-shirts that have the name on it, on the sidewalk, you know, and they, you know, they're like, okay, that's their behavior. That's what they're going to do. They're going to be stupid. Then, you know, you're out. And you know what? We all knew that we were going to do a Cinco de Mayo on the roof, you know, in a couple of months or in a few months. So
that's great.
But I enjoyed it. But it was like those, I miss that. I don't think I'll ever see that again, but they were great Christmas parties. We had an entire theater that would just be ours. And we could just, I mean, unlimited bar, unlimited gourmet food and movies. Man. And it was just, it was spectacular. But that, I really did appreciate that, though. It's like, you take responsibility. You're not going to ruin it for everybody else. So, anyway, okay. That's it.
All right,
sorry about the 20 minutes.
Oh, no, hold. Man. We were getting
Jason,
laughs.
We had a good time. Jason, are you okay?
I heard. I didn't even realize it was me. I was like, that's odd. Who's that, Jason North Kansas City? I thought I was the only Jason North Kansas City. Oh, man, that was me.
You heard us making fun of you?
And thought it was somebody else?
Well, I thought I was off the phone.
That's even better.
Goodbye,
it's even
Jason.
Better.
That's great. Gladiator 2 opens this week.
Oh, I cannot wait.
Is it tomorrow?
What I've read is, you know, I don't know that it's going to win a ton of awards, but it is a fun, not fun. I mean, it's still going to be,
People,
you know,
getting killed.
People beating themselves to death in the ring, but like a fun, entertaining waste of an hour and a half. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to leave and go, oh my God, that was terrible. And you're also not going to leave and go, it's the best movie I've ever seen. It's just, you're going to be glad you went, is what I read.
Will you be Gladiator you went? I'll see myself out.
Get out.
By the way, there is a character that comes back from the original, Lucilla.
Yes. Okay, could we just have a second and talk about this? Because I just watched Gladiator again, the Russell Crowe, all of this stuff. Do you know that the little boy that is in Gladiator, not his son who was killed,
right,
but the heir.
Yeah, the little kid.
The little kid that is the heir, his name was Lucius, comes back the same actor as an adult and is in this Gladiator.
So does...
Because he was the heir. Remember when, I mean, I hate to spoil it, but it don't end well for the Gladiator, Russell Crowe, and it don't end well for Joaquin Phoenix's character either.
But so does his mother, Lucilla.
But back then,
she was so hot.
A mother could not rule. So her son that was in the movie, now as an adult, that actor is in the new Gladiator.
Is he Caesar?
I didn't look it up. I just saw that the same actor is coming back. So because look, it's the same guy. But now he's, you know, instead of 10, he's 40 or whatever. My assumption is he's the ruler because he was the heir.
Well,
and his mother has not aged a day.
No, she's still just stunningly beautiful. Her name is Connie Nielsen.
She's stunning. Did you not remember, Scott, the grotesquely awkward sexual overtones
Between brother and Lucilla?
Between Joaquin Phoenix's
character,
Maximus, or whatever his name was.
No, he was Caesar. He was the
and
Caesar.
His sister. He's like, sister. I mean, I can't even do it. I was like, oh.
Well, she's back, and she was on CBS this morning. Very excited about the film to come out tomorrow.
Is there some preview tonight somewhere? I'm going to have to look and see.
I didn't know the little kid came back as well.
Yes.
Well, that's cool.
Isn't that so cool?
Deion Sanders, who is going to be in Kansas City this weekend, wants to shut down rumors of him leaving the University of Colorado the same way that he shut down wide receivers during his Hall of Fame NFL career. The latest round of speculation fueled by Sanders' former teammate with the Cowboys, Michael Irvin, has the Buffalo's coach leaving Boulder to take over mm-hmm. the Dallas Cowboys. Sanders, however, is dismissing the idea. I think they play KU in an early game at Arrowhead, if I'm not mistaken, this Saturday. Sanders says, "I'm happy where I am, man," he said at a press conference. "I've got a kickstand down. You know what a kickstand is? That means I'm resting. I'm good. I'm happy. I'm excited. I'm enthusiastic about where I am. I love it here. I truly do." Sanders began his tenure at Colorado in 2022, taking over a program that finished 1-11 the season before. Right now, he has the Buffaloes at number 18, playing for a Big 12 title, perhaps, and a possible spot in the college football playoff. By the way, he's not worried about where his next meal's coming from. He's in the middle of a 5-year, $30 million contract at Colorado.
Can I say one more thing about Gladiator because I'm obsessed?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, the two characters, Joaquin Phoenix in the original and mm-hmm. Russell Crowe, this is from the New York Times, are of course dead by the end, and Rome itself seems likely it may follow rapidly in their wake. They and all of the other ghosts from the original movie haunt the sequel, which is set 16 years later. That's important.
Okay. Even though it's been 24 since the movie came out.
Well, I assumed it would be like 100 years. Like, I didn't know. And then, of course, with the child now as an adult, that's not going to be true. But I assumed it was much, much later. Gladiator 2 is set 16 years after the original. New York Times gives it a gigantic thumbs up.
Oh, good.
Although there are rhinoceros, monkeys, and other animals in the ring this time.
By the way, it says here that Lucius, the real Lucius, who lived between 80-177 and 211, was a Roman senator.
Okay, I did ask after watching the Russell Crowe original Gladiator again for the fourth time. Like, that's real, right? Like, it's real.
I don't know if the story is real. A lot of the characters in that movie,
the characters' names were real,
are historically accurate. Okay. Yes.
The Maximus character, the Joaquin Phoenix, I looked that up. I think it was Maximus.
Let me look.
Was real. Now, whether or not he was the one that did the thumbs up and the thumbs down when people were fighting to the death, that I don't know.
Well, I bet that that is accurate. I just don't know if, you know, the Russell Crowe character, who was a general in the Roman army, very high ranking, very successful, if he ended up, if that A was a real person and B ended up being sold into slavery as a gladiator.
He is one sexy SOB in that gladiator. Here, I'm telling Russell. You, despite the haircut, he is. That is fit.
Why don't you take a is drink he of cold
in the,
water?
Oh, I was just going to say, is he in the second one? No.
No, he dies.
Well, you assume he dies. I mean,
he dies because he's
touching the wheat and he's going towards his memory of his wife and his son. And
in heaven.
Then I wonder if they're like, clear, and they bring him back.
With what?
I don't know.
An EpiPen? What?
He's older, wiser, and surprised, not dead.
Joaquin Phoenix plays Commodus, who was a Roman emperor who ruled from 177 until his assassination in 192.
It is rated R for, quote, classic carnage. 2 hours, 28 minutes is your runtime. Classic carnage.
I'm going to see if Russell Crowe's character as Maximus is not highlighted, so it doesn't look like he was a real person.
Okay.
But Commodus was. All right, quick break. Quentin, Dana Wright, my name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Now we're arguing about wildlife in here.
Because I was right.
Have you seen the photos of the 47-foot sea creature that washed ashore and they don't know how it died?
The whale. People are coming from far and wide to look at it.
But it doesn't look like a whale. It looks like if you took a fish, just a normal fish that you would catch, but you put it in like a Godzilla movie and blew it up 96 billion times its actual size.
When it's alive, it looks like a whale. That's a fin whale right there.
Yeah, it's when it's dead on the shore, it's shaped like a fish, and it looks like there's like a, I don't know, like a teenager standing there. It's taller at its almost lowest part of its body than that child.
They can swim up to 30 miles per hour. Man, they're fast.
She was partially frozen, so apparently she remained pretty well preserved. But my God, the smell, can you imagine?
No.
Experts will conduct a necropsy to determine the animal's cause of death, but they say they believe the whale was young and in good health.
Hmm.
Thing is enormous.
Well, it does have a fin on its back. Do most whales not have a fin on their back?
This does not look like a whale to me. I mean, I believe you that that's what they're saying this is, but it does not look like a classic whale shape to me.
Okay.
You guys know that in the 70s, the United States government blew up a whale in Oregon that landed on shore?
One of the greatest stories of all time.
Yeah, with dynamite.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And chunks flew for miles.
Yeah. How did that? That's just like you get the boys around the table and you're like, we got a whale on the beach. How are we going to get rid of it?
Weren't there didn't cars have their glass blown out? Like, yes. Weren't there injuries?
I don't know if there were injuries. I actually remember that story.
It's one of the most famous news stories of all time. Because when it blew, it's the description of the carnage that rained down on the town. I think it was Will Starrett that sent, it might have been John Grayson. Either Grayson or Will Starrett sent me that story like several years ago. And it is hilarious.
There are news clips. Maybe we'll play one after 5 o'clock.
Oh, God, it's
have
funny.
To check it for language.
People were running for their lives.
It was big. It was in, when was it? It was November of 1970 when the Oregon Highway Division blew up a decaying sperm whale with dynamite in an effort to dispose of its rotting carcass.
They blasted blubber beyond all believable bounds.
Wasn't that it, Dan?
The explosion threw whale flesh roughly 800 feet, and its odor lingered for some time.
Chunks fell onto cars, crushing them.
That's right.
That's one of the greatest
funny
television news stories.
Maybe, Dan, it was you that sent it to me. I thought it was Grayson. Maybe it was you that sent it to me. It is funny.
Such a good story.
Let me see if I can. We don't have a lot of time. Let me see if I can get this video. It was covered by KTKU. Oh, no, KATU.
KATU.
Mm-hmm. In Oregon.
I mean, it sounded good. Like, well, we could blow it up.
There they are, sticking dynamite in it.
Mm-hmm.
Play it. You've got to play it. It's so funny.
Hang on. Let me see if this is... All right. Keep your finger on the dump button.
It's clean.
Oh, it'll be clean.
And Q, can I give my audio?
Unlike the chunks of carnage that rained down on that town.
Hang on. They even have a countdown on the TV screen.
Did you get a wild?
That's a big ass boom.
And then panic sets in as bits of whale rain down.
What did they think was going to happen?
Not that.
Well,
hang on.
Don't.
All right, Fred, you can take your hands out of your head.
Do you hear it? It sounds like fireworks. That's the blubber hitting the earth.
Okay, Fred, take your fingers out of your ears.
Pretty sure there were injuries. We have to play that when we come back. It is so funny. We need the original news story. And the guy's in his, like, leisure suit, you know, back when they were only brown and yellow tones.
Yeah, it was 1970.
He's got one of those great broadcast voices.
I've got it right here. We can play it.
There's a sedan.
Oh, Dan, if you got it, fire away.
Look at that. That sedan's been crushed.
It's crushed.
Let me see if I can get my computer to work here.
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
Yeah. Let it rip.
It had to be said, the Oregon State Highway Division not only had a whale of a problem on its hands, it had a stinking whale of a problem. What to do with one 45-foot, 8-ton whale dead on arrival on the beach near Florence?
It had been so long since a whale had washed up in Lane County, nobody could remember how to get rid of one. In selecting its battle plan, the Highway Division decided the carcass couldn't be buried because it might soon be uncovered. It couldn't be cut up and then buried because nobody wanted to cut it up, and it couldn't be burned. So dynamite it was, some 20 cases or a half ton of it. The hope was that the long-dead Pacific gray whale would be almost disintegrated by the blast, and that any small pieces still around after the explosion would be taken care of by seagulls and other scavengers. Indeed, the seagulls had been standing nearby all day. As everything was being made ready, we asked George Thornton, the highway engineer in charge of the project, for his final observation.
Well, I'm confident that it'll work. The only thing is, we're not sure just exactly how much explosives it'll take to disintegrate this thing, so the scavengers...
Less than you use, sir.
...whatnot can clean it up.
Put it on pause, and we'll hear the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, after your newscast. Okay? All right, quick break for the news. Dan's got that coming your way in 2 minutes. Hey, don't forget to go to our website, kmbz.com. We have just a handful of weeks to raise all this money through your generosity, of course, Coats for Kids 2024. Thanks to Pinnacle Bank, our sponsor, and our partners at Operation Warm. If you can help, if you're willing to help, and there is a great need in this city, go to kmbz.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.